Welcome to the podcast, Coach G from GW, right out of the A-10, first-year head coach. Coach G, how's it going?
Good. It's going good. It's obviously that time of year when you got to move on quickly. you play a game and you're getting ready for the next one, but I consider this is the best part of your season. It's the part that can feel really challenging, but is what you wanted 8 months ago when you're trying to get ready for it.
Absolutely. So you go back 8 months and you're preparing concepts and things that you think you need. How much study in advance of the A-10 coaches' personality styles did you do before you dove into what you were going to run with your team?
Yeah, try to do some for sure. And it was an exercise for our entire staff, you know, where we met, watched, talked, prepped, did some scouting reports. I'm a big, just like student of exactly the question that you're asking, of just trying to learn the coaches. I have a really good familiarity with the league, one in coaching in the league previously, playing teams in the league previously, and then just being a fan of basketball. So just trying to watch games, even if it's 5-10 minutes of a game, just put it on and see what people are doing, keeping up with people's season. So there was, like I said, familiarity, but then trying to get into the nitty-gritty of, well, what are they doing in games? How are they substituting? What's their style like? What type of defenses are they running? So that was something we did as a staff just to get prepared as a group, as a collective group of what we're going to see and then what we need to be ready for. So how we're going to prep and prepare in October so that it's not going to be the first time that we're seeing or trying to defend a team styles or characteristics. We want to try to get ahead of it.
If you don't put in the different ways to guard a ball screen early, then it's hard to put it in the week of if a team is in drop coverage all the time or if a team is high hard hedging every time. How much of who you have on your team is allowing you to play the way you want to play versus what you have to do to get your team ready to play so that you can have success?
Yeah, I think early on was really trying to figure out who we have and what can they do while still trying to throw at them the things that we want to be able to do, right? This is a system in which we like to play while also understanding, yeah, this is my ideal, but if it's not their strengths and or if they're not understanding the concepts, then we can't stay there. So we're still a work in progress for sure in that space. And we've had to make adjustments as the season's going on with how we're trying to play both defensively and offensively, try to get the ball in certain people's hands. If we're not understanding one thing, okay, let's try this. Okay, but that's working. So it's been been like that all season. I have a pretty good grasp right now of our strengths and what we're capable of while still trying to play in a certain type of way and not dropping our standards. I think that's the biggest thing of the standards, of being very clear with that. But at the same time, if a certain action or offense isn't working, we're not going to keep doing it. If we're, for example, we want to press, we would like to press a lot more and we're just not able to. That's just where we are right now. So we don't press as much as I would like to press. And we're hoping to, as we move forward, be able to do that a little bit more in different ways.
When I am speaking with athletic directors or search firms about who is next or who could fit in this job, I always tell them to look at three areas. One is, can they plan, prepare, be ready in practice? Can they recruit? And then can they in-game adjust? I ask people to look at it, and that's sort of the lens that I sort of look at it. Like, recruiting is one big piece of it. You have to have some talent. But the other part of it is developing, and then the other part is in-game adjustment. How do you feel that you guys are doing in those aspects right now? Like, if you were going to give yourselves a grade versus where you started to where you are now, how do you think you're doing? Where's that growth coming from?
The in-game adjustment is what you're asking specifically?
Yeah, like in-game, you know, your kids being able to, for you and your staff knowing what adjustment you might like to make, but then having your kids be able to grasp it and then just planning and preparing. You kind of answered that already.
Yeah, that is one thing I would say I've been pleased with our players in moments. Like, I can think of a handful right now where we weren't, whether it was the level of which we were trying to do something with the level of intensity and the focus, and or, hey, we're going to try this instead. We got to be better here. I think that we have adjusted pretty well for the most part. Mm-hmm. I probably on a scale of 1 to 10 would give us 5 because there's so much more room for improvement, but we're nowhere in the lower end of things. With being able to say, hey, we're going to try this. Let's see what it looks like, because we've been able to put ourselves or keep ourselves in games because of their ability to say, okay, I trust what you're trying to say. Let's go out there and do it. But it's still a work in progress for sure.
Yeah. Trust is the word, right? Yeah. Trust.
Yeah.
They have to trust that you're going to be able to put them in the best places to succeed, right?
Absolutely.
When you have a new team and you're a first year head coach in a new situation, that is probably where you spend a lot of your time, I'm guessing, is just trying to get to know the kids and making sure their skill set matches, you know, what you plan for them to do.
For sure. And there's, like you're saying, the trust, the belief, the buy-in. We talk a lot about it's less about talk, it's more about the doing. I'll know that you trust what we're trying to do. I know that you're bought in based on your actions and how you're responding. And even if it doesn't go well, still believing that it is going to work. And I think for us at times, it's hard to see, especially when you're building, like, is that really, yes, you just got to stay the course. You got to trust the process and all of this.
Coach G, tell me about your playing days at Florida State, what you learned playing for Sue Semrau, and how that's helped you be a really good coach. She's the all-time winningest coach in the history of Florida State basketball.
Yeah, I learned a lot from her, and I'm still learning. I just talked to her last night. So a lot of my playing days factors into how I coach. A lot of it is a big part of just the mentorship that I've got and continue to get from Coach Sue. But just like being defensive minded, the competitiveness in which I have, the willing to sacrifice, push through. And then the development piece is one too, because I felt like I grew over the course of 4 years there with Coach Sue. And then just being really intentional with building out players holistically, the relationships being a big part of it, adjusting to them and what they are able to do and what they're capable of, while still having a certain level of standard. I would say that is a combination of just mentorship from Sue and a couple of other coaches. And then just some, I understand, I walk the same shoes as our players. I know this is a time of year that gets really, really challenging, but I always went back and reminded myself what I wanted. What did I want last off season, right? This is where I wanted to be. This is where I wanted that chance again to be able to do the things that I thought that I could do based on all the work that I put in.
So as a 4-year player at an institution, taking full advantage of all the resources that Florida State had to offer, how much are you working on retaining your players? Because you do understand how important it is from a development standpoint. And as you said, holistically, not just the player part of it, but the person part.
It is. It is very important. And our staff knows, and we talk about it. We don't want to be a program that's recruiting its entire roster in the portal. One, our institution is just not set up like that. At least I don't think it's set up like that. And two, I value development and seeing growth over the course of multiple years, not just 8 months of a season, because you don't even get a kid. If you get them for one season, it's not even a full year. And then I also think culture takes time to build, and I want to be someone that's coaching a group of players who are peer driven, and share same similarities, values, those type of things where they're able to just like lead each other, and drive each other. So you need continuity in order to do that. And I'm biased. I stayed in my institution. It was hard. I'm sure I thought about transferring multiple times, because everyone does, because it gets hard. But I also understand the value of being able to call a place home, right? Florida State is home. So I want to be able to coach kids that still value that.
I'm with you on that, because those kids that bounce around from school to school to school won't have a place to call home. And they don't realize right now what that means. But when you can go back to a university that embraces you because they remember you, they cherish your time with them, they've watched you grow and develop. They're watching you now doing the things that you're doing. I'm sure when Coach Sue gets a chance to talk to you, I'm sure she's smiling at the other end of the phone because she's so proud of what you've been able to do. You spent some time at GW as an assistant for Jen Rosati. Jen Rosati is an iconic person in our game. She has had so much success and now is a big part of what USA Basketball has done with 3-on-3. She also runs the Connecticut Sun. So she has her hands in a lot of different things. What do you think were the most important things that you may have learned from Jen that you see in your own self coaching GW as a head coach now?
Yeah, I always really appreciated Coach Rosati, Jen's just work, the way she worked, her mentality. She was someone that sometimes you didn't even have to ask a question, but you saw what she was doing and how she was doing. And then she would answer questions all the time as well. But just how she prepared our team for games, put them in positive positions to be successful. That was one that I was lean on to. Okay, like, this is how you got to do it. This is how you have to do it. All right, moving on to the next game. This is how you have to get ready for it. Her ability to connect and build relationships, especially in the recruiting side of things. That was one too. And just going out there and just being really thorough with your evaluation. And one thing I also learned too is like knowing the kind of kids that you can coach, who is going to receive the coaching in which in the way that you're trying to deliver it. So that's really important because you can't coach everybody. You just can't. But there's a certain group of people that you can. So a lot of things for sure, but the learning the game even more, the X's and O's piece, them being able to, it's chess sometimes too, moving things back and forth. Those are things I would say that I learned from her.
One of the challenges that I love about our game and building relationships around the game is trying to humanize while always strategizing on the air. So, you know, I think it's really important for people to get to know you a little bit better. Not just see you on the sideline and know about some of your history and your background, but really know something about you now. So what are some of the things that you're doing when you're not watching film? The city of DC has a lot to take in. What are you spending your time on? I know you're watching a lot of film and getting your team ready, but you got to have a little bit of a break somehow.
Yes, that is definitely taking precedence right now. But I am a big fan of eating. So, so I will take an hour or two to go find a place to go eat. So that would be one, but I'm sure in the off season, I'll have more time. I keep saying to myself, because it's my second time living in this area, I really want to be able to explore more because you get yourself so wrapped into your day to day. But yeah. I'm like, maybe I should set a goal to go see every single Smithsonian. So maybe that's something I'll do in the off season, make sure I try to hit as many museums as possible.
What was your major at Florida State?
Nursing.
You're a nurse?
I am.
You've got to have incredible bedside manner with your team.
There are times I'm like, yep, take a deep breath, Coach G.
Did you ever think about going into that profession?
Yes. Yeah, so I worked as a nurse and a nurse practitioner as well. I had my doctorate in nursing for about 7 years. So I was doing that for some time before I got into Division I coaching. I did D3 while I was working as a nurse practitioner and then decided I wanted to do this thing full time. So,
man, nurse practitioners and PAs that can write scripts are winners. Win-win.
Indeed.
How did this happen? How did you decide to come back into college basketball? What was the change?
Basketball was always there in some capacity since graduating from Florida State, but I went straight to my master's. I mean, everything was like school, and basketball was on the side. So I coached high school basketball, did some travel ball, some travel AAUs, did some like trainings on the side, and then moved to Boston to get my doctorate, did my master's at Florida State, moved to Boston to get my doctorate in nursing, coached Division III a little bit after I finished my doctorate, had a stint where I was helping out with the Northeastern Division I team where I was going to get my doctorate. So that's kind of how I was like, oh, could I really do this? But for so many years, I would be talking to Coach Sue saying like, is this something for me? Should I do this? I really love it. And then I just made the decision, but I knew I would always be able to fall back onto like go back to nursing if I needed to, because I worked long enough and I still have my certifications. I keep that up every 2 years as a RN, every 5 years as an MP. I'm still licensed in the state of Massachusetts where I worked most recently or the last time. Yeah. But this coaching thing, I'm going to write it out and then we'll see what plan C is. Cause right now this is plan B.
Plan A was excellent. Plan B is working out great. And you will have a plan C at some point. It won't be anytime soon, but that is the best answer to humanize versus strategize, that in all the years that I've asked it, that I've ever received. That is fantastic. My mom is a nurse. Her sisters were nurses. So we're a family of nurses. And none of my nieces or my cousins, boy or girls, went into nursing. None of us did. It's kind of odd. But I'm always partial to the nurses because I know once a nurse, always a nurse. My own kids even call my mother instead of asking me when they have an issue because they just know that Mimi will have an answer. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. What did you specifically work in as a nurse?
Different areas. As a nurse, I worked in surgery, so the operating room. And then as a nurse practitioner, I worked adolescent health, infectious disease, and then I did pain management. So that was my last spot.
You have to be the world's most interesting coach.
I'm up there, I guess.
if we check off the Smithsonian's, then yes, you are going to be the most interesting. That is so cool. I want you on my trivia team when I bring the trivia game back. You're in. Coach G from GW, thank you so much. What a pleasure to spend some time with you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Debbie. Appreciate it.